Time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here. The European Union's going against Google. Paul couldn't be happier about that. We'll talk about that. And Nokia really changing direction, not only rumored to be getting rid of the Here Maps division, but also rumored to be buying a very big tech company for more than $16 billion. Windows Weekly is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 409, recorded Wednesday, April 15th, 2015. Here is not everywhere. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Prosper. Prosper is a peer-to-peer lending marketplace that connects people who are looking to borrow money with those who have money to lend. Visit prosper.com/twit and receive a $50 Visa gift card when you get a loan. And by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 50-plus job sites, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter with a free 4-day trial now at ZipRecruiter.com/windows. That's ZipRecruiter.com/windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover Microsoft's latest and greatest with Mr. Paul Thurrott. He's from his own domain, Thurrott.com. Great place to go to find out everything there is to know about Thurrotts.
Not Thurrotts. Don't go there to find out about Thurrotts.
There will be no Thurrott.
There's only one Thurrott there.
There's no Thurrott.
Let me tell you something. The rest of them are not too amused by this.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I want to find out about that. But first, let's introduce his cohort, his partner in crime, Mary Jo Foley from allaboutmicrosoft.com. Both of you back home briefly.
Yes.
Or head back out on the road.
I have literally a month solid of travel after this week.
A lot of Microsoft stuff.
Yep.
Coming up. You know, Lisa and I were in Vegas over the last couple of days for the National Association of Broadcasters convention, and I'm flying home. I'm saying, let's never leave home again.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Yeah.
Until they invent teleportation.
So what's the deal with the Thurrott? So you have Thurrott.com and every other Thurrott in the country wants it. Is that it?
Yeah, there's a lot of them in Canada.
Yeah. I have the same problem with LaPorte.
Yeah.
You know where it shows up for me is in my email, because my email is laporte@gmail.com. Apparently, right. Every Frenchman in the world named LaPorte doesn't understand that if you put a space between your first name and last name, it all goes to Leo. I get so much email.
You get like email in French.
Oh, it's all in French. I get it.
Yeah.
And it's hard to unsubscribe to stuff in French because I don't know, you know, what's happening.
That's
I speak
awesome.
A little French, but it's, you know, it's business French.
So in my case, at least my name is unusual.
Did you adopt that name as a stage name when you became famous?
No, I was adopted when I was 3, and it became my name.
I didn't know that. I didn't. Yep. See, here we've worked together for 409 episodes, and I learn something about you every day. So you might not actually be, by bloodline, a Thurrott.
I am literally not. Actually, Leo, I could be wrong, but I, if I'm not mistaken, in the very first episode of Windows Weekly.
You told me that?
No, I think what I said was, my name is French-Canadian, but I am neither French nor Canadian.
Went right over my head.
What's that?
I think you're one of us, aren't you? Irish?
I am.
Are you Irish? You do look Irish. I just thought it's because you've been living in Boston so long.
No, I think I live in Boston because I'm half Irish.
Didn't I say that, though, at the beginning of the show? You look like an Irish boxer.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and that's why I said it's because I went outside, because that's exactly what happens.
You turn red. You go from white to red.
I can actually, it's not like when you have a fever, but you, there's like a heat radiating effect.
Yeah.
I think of it as exposure. You know, like a couple more days and I'd be like that guy who had to chew off his arm to get out of the rock. You know?
Good Lord.
Wow.
Yeah.
128 hours with Paul Thurrott.
Yep.
Okay, there is a lot of things, a lot of news, but I think you, Paul, you wish to talk about the story that this morning that Google, that the European Union was going to investigate Google and finally stick it to them. Is that how you put it?
Well, and it comes in the wake of a revelation, inadvertent, that the FTC here in the United States had plenty of evidence to go after them for exactly the same reason, and for some reason we don't know, decided not to. And so I find that to be very, very interesting and not the good kind of interesting. But the EU under the new competition commissioner has been much more serious about Google than the last one. And her first action here was to issue a statement of objections for, which is their form of a charge, for antitrust violations related to internet search, and announced that they're also going to do the same, investigate Google for Android as well, which is fantastic. So this, I think this is necessary. I think that in a place like the EU where Google has 90% market share, usage share, I guess, they need to be held to a certain standard. And they absolutely
are
artificially.
Don't know they're a bigger monopoly in Europe than they are in the States.
Yeah, yeah, they are. A lot more. I think the United States is probably something like 65%.
I think it might be undercounted, but Google is, which Google is happy to have it be, because they don't want people to know how big a monopoly they are. So, what are the accusations?
The primary one, well, is basically that Google artificially changes its search results to favor its own services over those of competitors. And I think the thing I'd add on top of this is if you think about Google as, you know, the de facto gateway to the internet, which apparently they are for 90% of Europe, Google has an incredible insight into what it is that people want. And they can use that information to decide to get into certain markets. And so if they see a lot of people searching for airline fares or for shopping, they could say, well, let's bolster our own stuff and let's put our service on top of, the other services when people search for those items, which is what they do. And a lot of Google competitors have complained about this behavior. They've investigated them for, I believe, over 3 years.
I think 2009. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, the previous regime at the European Commission was ready to roll over. And so many people complained, including politicians in the EU, but also competitors, that he had to leave office without having resolved the Google case, which he wanted to be like his crowning achievement. Mm-hmm. And the new person that came in, and I won't attempt to pronounce her name, but she's Danish and has an excellent name.
We have to practice this. I think her name is Margrethe Vestager.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our Danish listeners.
I'd say Margrethe. Margrethe. Yeah.
Margrethe.
I would guess that the TH is T or D and the I is long. But that's just me.
Whoever she is, she's my new favorite person. And. No, I mean, she's gone after them in exactly the right way, I think. And we'll see. You know, Google has X number of weeks, I don't remember, 10 weeks or something, or 8 weeks to respond to these charges. It doesn't work like it does in the United States. It's not like there's no trial where they go back and forth. I mean, basically, Google responds and then they issue their decision. And so it would behoove Google to settle. I think the big thing for Google is that they have what happened with Microsoft, of course, but also Intel, and two sharply different ways of dealing with EU antitrust to fall back on as prior understanding of how EU works. And they're not going to get the sweetheart deal that they did before or were going to before under Joachim Alkem. So good news.
It's tough because Google's in a business that's truly global. And, of course, these kinds of regulations are anything but global. EU is actually at least more than one country, but it's tough because anything that the EU forces Google to do, Google in some ways must do globally. This is the problem.
Well,
the right to be forgotten as well.
So, in the Microsoft case, when Microsoft was found guilty of antitrust abuse in the EU, most of the remedies did not apply worldwide. Right, Microsoft made that special version of Windows. Right.
Yeah.
They provide, but that's they did
Microsoft
provide documentation
company,
to developers. I
not
assume
an
that
internet
was
company. I mean, Google
True.
Is.
Okay.
I mean, I guess they can make a different.
By the way,
this
prior action regarding Google, they were forced to do the you know, what do they call it? The forget me ruling or whatever.
Yeah, but it's hard because now they're saying, but the right to be forgotten is meaningless because it doesn't affect the entire Google ecosystem. Yeah,
and that's an instance of Google applying it just to the EU.
Well, it's rightly so, because the right to be forgotten is technically ridiculous.
Okay.
And shouldn't be applied to other countries where they have a little more enlightened point of view.
Well,
now, I don't, by the way, disagree with you. I don't disagree with you on the these most recent action, because I've always said it's a shame Google has gotten into these side businesses because it muddies the water for search. In the U.S., it's their right to do so. But
I don't actually mind that Google does these other things. What I mind is that the company presents itself as this robot. You know, it's a giant algorithm, and that everything we do is cold and mechanical and logical, when in fact it's just a company and it's just driving search toward its own services. And I think that stinks. I don't think there's a problem with Google getting into flight search or shopping search or whatever these other things are.
Just
I think the
problem
is that they're artificially ruining what should be truly organic search results.
What if Google's response that, well, but if you look at these other companies like Yelp, the complaining companies, and TripIt, their business is growing by leaps and bounds. How are we hurting
them? That's true. But how much more would they have grown if Google wasn't stifling them? You know, that, and that's the central point. Google's business has also grown in leaps and bounds, and it's grown on the backs of these other companies who, by the way, they're scraping information from. They're artificially keeping down in search results.
Right.
Like, it's the problem isn't that these companies are all out there and they're all competing. The problem is most of those companies rely on Google to get their customers in the first place. And so thanks for throwing us a bone, Google, but you know, if they were just doing this truly organically, those companies probably would have grown a lot more. And by the way, what has been the greatest era yet so far in internet boom times?
Yeah.
So yes, they've grown, but they would have grown a lot more. The ones that,
and then deserve. the other defense that's been proposed, and this one comes from Danny Sullivan at Search Engine Land, and actually predates this EU accusation, but goes back to the FTC documents that were released by the Wall Street Journal. Danny says, well, that's just because they don't understand how search engines work. He says it's going to be very hard to demonstrate that Google is, in fact, prioritizing its results. I mean, I think what you have to do is say, well, look at this result and then look at that result. And is that Google? I mean, it's hard to prove what they're accusing Google of.
You can compare it to other search engines, which is one of the things they've done.
Bing's actually worse.
Well, okay. I mean, Bing doesn't, I don't know.
I do know because we did this, you know, Jeff, as you know, and we'll have a big argument on Twig because Jeff Jarvis thinks this is silly, I'm sure. But if you search
the palace guard always wants to protect the king, Leo. The point is,
well, if you search Bing for video, let's just see what the results are. Bing.com/videos, Bing.com/videos, PBS.org, dictionary definition of video, Today.com, Daily Motion, PBS Kids. YouTube's not even in the first page. Bing is. So do you tell me. Who do you Bing go to Bing video before you go
way,
to YouTube?
By the way, just from a business practices standpoint, there's absolutely nothing wrong with what Bing's doing, because Microsoft doesn't have a monopoly in search. They can artificially put their own services in front of us because they're not beholden to those rules.
Yeah. By the way, that's exactly the argument point of I made with Jeff. Is that
no, I mean, it's literally
Google, because
the
they're so dominant, has to
people. Well, why doesn't Apple allow whatever on their platform? You know, Apple doesn't have a monopoly in anything, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, that's the mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. central mm-hmm. issue.
Yeah. You have to have a monopoly, and then you not only have to have the monopoly, but abuse the monopoly power.
That's the rule in the U.S.
And
that's,
extend that monopoly.
That is the U.S.
I think EU also, no? Or no?
It's pretty close.
The Sherman Antitrust Act says that you can have a monopoly. That's not illegal.
Yeah, monopolies are not illegal.
You cannot use your monopoly to enter a new market, to leverage into a new market.
Which is the product bundling thing that Microsoft got in trouble with, and which is what Google should be in trouble with, right?
Right.
This is the point. I think the primary – I mean, I'm not an expert in antitrust law, but, you know, I play one on TV, so what the hell? you know, I mean, I think that – I believe that the primary difference between – the protection laws, antitrust or otherwise, between the United States and the EU, is that the the laws here are concerned with competition, yes, but actually more with consumer harm. I mean, that's right. Really the bigger component of it.
Right.
The EU is much more aggressive. About competition.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. I looked at the language they used, and they talked about consumer harm a lot in the case of Google, because I think that plays well. But I believe that the actual laws are more – antitrust laws – are more concerned with fair competition.
Interesting.
And, you know, it's six or one half dozen, I think, you know, either way. But they're abusing both, obviously.
Well, so this does happen faster in the EU, than, as you mentioned, than it does in the U.S. How quickly will we know?
It doesn't happen fast, though. I mean, it could still be – it could be a
weeks.
Year, you know.
They have 10 weeks to – respond,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she's going to make some kind of a decision about what the penalty should be.
Right. And they can appeal that, it. Right? And they can, you know, it goes on and
right.
on.
Right. I mean, honestly, one of the there's a monetary fine of up to $6 billion that is one of the possible penalties.
But that will
in
never
this
happen.
Case. That I doubt that will happen. But, you know, Microsoft did have to pay $2 billion in their case with the EU.
Yeah, over time. But that was multiple fines.
True. That's true.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest antitrust fine in Europe was Intel.
Intel,
and it was
right?
something like $1 or $1.1 billion.
Yeah.
Which was still a fraction of the possibility. I don't remember exactly what Intel's revenues were or how high that could have been. I would imagine Google would be on the line for something similar. But I also think Google's going to settle this case. I think they will... curb their behavior to meet the needs of the EU and only do it there. And that will be the end of that. And they'll probably, I don't know how else that's going to work, but I think that's how this is going to end up.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen tomorrow. It's going to happen, you know, months from
years from now. Yeah. Right.
We'll drag it out.
But you're going to sit on the sidelines and cheer.
No, it's actually, you know what? It's not a celebration because there's a lot of disappointment on the back end of this. They should have done this years ago. The FTC should have done this. If the FTC and the EU both together were suing Google for the same things, this might have made differences in many more people's lives and in many more companies' fortunes. It would have been a bigger deal. I think that this company has kind of run amok over intellectual property, over privacy, over competitors, and many other things for a long time. And I'm glad it happened. It needs to happen. And I need to say this. I should say, too, it's not important to me that Google is punished. It's just important to me that the right thing happens. If there's a huge investigation and it's like, you know, actually, it wasn't as bad as we thought, that's an okay outcome, too.
Right.
I just think that the literally the gatekeeper of the internet needs to be held to a standard and needs to be monitored.
I agree with you, actually. I know people find that odd, but I do agree with you because they have so much power.
They have so much power.
Yeah. Hey, by the way,
Microsoft, listen, I felt so strongly that Microsoft needed to be broken up. When you find out how that company operated 15 years ago, it's infuriating. But when you compare it to Google today,
similar.
It's a tiny slice of humanity that they're impacting.
Right.
You know? Yeah. No? Mary Jo's laughing.
Yes.
I think we all agree.
You know what? The Microsoft comparison, though, I think plays more into the other half of this case, which is the Android part of it, right? Like the comparison shopping, that's really interesting. And I feel like that's been something that's been going on. But now they're opening this investigation into Android, and are they forcing their OEMs to do certain things? That is an exact parallel to what happened in the Microsoft DOJ case, right?
And there's a difference. Here's the biggest difference, which Google makes of Android available in a different form. That people don't have to.
That's not the same though.
You may want it better, but it's not like Microsoft Windows. There was an open source version of Windows.
But that's open source Windows version, the open source Google Android version, whatever it is.
AOSP.
Yeah. Is so not Android.
Well, you know, it's Android minus Google.
It's not Android as we think of it. Right?
It's Android minus Google.
Yeah.
But that seems fair.
I don't know. I feel like if without the store.
If you want Google, you should have to do these things.
Who wants an Android phone without Google Maps?
No, I agree.
Who would ever want this thing?
Well, Nokia or Microsoft did with X. But
I mean people. Yeah. You know,
I understand. People want that.
Anyone who was educated about the purchase would never want that thing.
Except that Amazon does, and that's what Amazon releases.
By the way, who bought an Amazon phone with not Google Maps on it?
But a lot of Amazon tablets with Android.
Those aren't used for GPS. Yeah.
But you also you have to be such a huge, huge company to be able to do what Amazon's doing, right? Like you can't be a smaller company and possibly go out there without your own.
It's funny because you won't have your own store, Apple doesn't offer iOS to anybody,
right.
So they don't have to make any agreements with anybody.
Nope.
So they're not at risk, where even though they're dominant, but Google, which gives you a choice, is in trouble because of the choice.
Listen, I could go into the weeds on this. What happens when Apple does enter into agreements with other companies? I'll tell you what happens. They go into antitrust court with the books thing, or they're the company taking no risk and reaping all of the rewards, and the companies they partner with are taking all the risks and getting none of the rewards. And that's what happened when Apple partners with somebody. Wireless carriers that got screwed, especially AT&T in the beginning, because, you know, AT&T's network was so terrible. And then you realize, you know, actually, the iPhone was freaking broken is what the problem was.
Right.
Like, it's classic. You know, it's just, and that's a completely different topic. I don't want to get off too far on this one. But Apple's decision, and this has been a long-running thing from the days of the Mac, you know, back in the early days, to go it alone is one strategy. You know, partnering with other people is another strategy. And they both have benefits and they both have problems. You know, Microsoft partners, Google partners, and Apple doesn't. I mean, there's just two different ways of doing business. But there are, you know, it's not perfect. Neither one of them is perfect.
And EU regulator in our chat room.
Nice.
Marguerite, nice to have you here.
Maybe you could explain to us how that is pronounced.
Actually, I can do that for you right now. This is Forvo, which is a site where people voluntarily record the pronunciation. Oh. We used this when there was that volcano in Finland or wherever.
Iceland, no one could pronounce.
So here are two Danish people pronouncing her name. You ready?
Yes.
Margrethe Vestager.
Much easier, I think, than what we thought.
First of all, in no way resembles the word as it's on the
Let's get the
page.
Second opinion.
Okay.
Margrethe Vestager.
Okay, I think there's agreement.
It sounds like Margarita.
So apparently there's a Q in there somewhere.
Margrethe Vestager. Margrethe Vestager.
Margrethe Vestager. Margrethe Vestager. Okay. So I was wrong about the I. No, actually, it was Margrethe. Oh, forget it. We're going to call her Marguerite Vestager.
Right.
Like, if you had provided me with five possible pronunciations, I would have come up with, you know, five.
Margrethe Vestager.
I would have picked for this one.
Margrethe Vestager. I love it. Oh, we Americans are so limited in how we think of things like pronunciation.
Sure.
Anyway, EU regulator in the chat room, also known as
Margrethe Vestager,
says that their real issue, and I'm looking at the actual EU release from issue is whether Google has breached EU antitrust rules by hindering the development and market access of rival mobile operating systems, applications, and services. So it's not so much the deals they make, but do they hinder rivals?
Well, actually, there are three things. In fact, I've got a link to that ZD article. It's pretty good about this. But again, if you think about it from that perspective, it's about competition, right? It's not, were consumers harmed because they couldn't get Google Maps? No, that's not the issue. The issue was, these exclusive licensing deals preclude another mapping service, another email service, another whatever Google makes, from coming on board on Android devices. And, you know, we saw this with Windows. I'm sure it's true in the Mac as well. It's hard to beat something that's built in. Most people don't bother. You know, if you sign into a device and your email is configured in whatever mail app is on your device, why would you look at another mail app as a normal human being? People who, like us, people who listen to the show are technical and know about this stuff. Yeah, they might. But why would a normal human being do that? You know? Yeah. It wouldn't. And that's why you bundle. You want to keep people locked into your stuff.
And tying and bundling was the crux of the
Microsoft case, wasn't it? Yeah, the Internet Explorer.
Right. So, What's interesting is after Microsoft finally, 10 years later, was no longer under the scrutiny of the Department of Justice, they started bundling again. So now you're seeing Microsoft bundle things like OneDrive.
You know what by the way, I asked them about that, and they said, Paul, it's like riding a bike.
It's just as easy to fall off as it is to fall on.
You know,
I have like the Samsung Galaxy Edge. This has OneNote and Skype. It comes with a Microsoft folder. I think that's
by the way, you've seen the news about that, right? Not in the United States, it doesn't.
Oh, no. Well,
you
this
buy
is
that
T-Mobile.
Thing from AT&T or
Verizon. T-Mobile and Sprint. Yes.
Those apps are gone.
You're kidding.
The wireless carrier takes them off.
Wow. Yep.
Story that on Neo this week about that.
That is messed up, man.
Yeah. T-Mobile has it. Sprint has it.
But
Verizon
not like you
not.
Can't re-download them. I mean,
but again, to my point,
the tyranny of the default.
HP computer, HP, which is making great computers these days, bundles these apps that I think are a little strange. There's like a kind of a photo app and a little like a video app and whatever they have on there. You know, why would you do that kind of stuff? You know,
horrible. But Samsung has it's so weird, crappy apps. They call them the milk apps, which already makes you like. Nauseous.
Like they get sour over time.
The milk apps. And I immediately disable those.
Yeah.
But
which, by the way, another wonderful aspect of Android, you can't delete it. depending on the app.
No, you can delete everything except for those apps that the carrier or the manufacturer lock in there. They have
By the way, once we go with Google, let's look at the carriers next because if there's a problem in the mobile space,
I'll go with you on that one.
By the way, are the gateway to mobile, right? If you want to put it that way.
Yeah. That's why I usually buy, as you do, I know, Paul, unlocked phones.
Yeah, but, now I do. Yeah.
Well, the last time I got a Samsung Note, it was the Hong Kong edition, and there was some weirdness there.
But I find, you know, a lot of my Windows phones are from other places, right? And the 930 I have is from Thailand.
Right.
I just restored it at a 535, and it comes up with, you know, in a different language, and... You know, it's an entertaining couple of minutes when you have to struggle through the,
Where do I find the non-Latin
language that you're not familiar with. It's good.
So this is the phone as it comes, and you see there's a little folder called Microsoft Apps. It's not on the front page. It's like the second page in, and it's just got three apps. It's got, you know, OneDrive, OneNote, and Skype, but I'm sure Microsoft's very happy to have that there.
It's better than nothing. I mean, to me, Microsoft apps in no way describes those things, you know?
No, these are universal apps. Everybody probably, I would download them otherwise, so.
Yeah. I mean, if I was going to segregate things into folders on my mobile device.
I wouldn't do it that way. But
I might have like productivity apps or office apps.
I don't really care who made it. That's not.
Yeah.
that's not how I organize my apps.
No, it's like, oh, Microsoft, thanks. Delete.
On the other hand, in Google's favor, they do encourage the rootability of their phones. They don't actively discourage that. And you can
Leo,
do anything you want.
Google is a virus.
Yes,
and this is the Android is. This is the one time where Steve Jobs and I could hug each other and cry. We're so on the same page. Like his whole thing about Android and it's stealing from Apple. I have never agreed with anything in the technology world like I do with that. I still have a hard time dealing with Android. I just, when I look at it, it's like, I
love it. I mean, I actively love it. It's so great. Seriously.
I celebrate it.
I do. I love my Android phone.
That's funny.
And one thing that has happened, consumers have spoken out, and so there's a lot less of that, you know, cruft on here than they're used to.
No, I know, but you know, how you get to this point, right? Like, how do we make up all this time against Apple?
I agree with you. It's taken Android, you know, five versions to really get clean, but but now it's pretty good. And of course, the EU is going to shut it down. And
I think the case on Android is a lot more tenuous than the search case.
Yeah.
For whatever that's worth.
Yeah. I have to say, if you're punishing Google because they didn't take the road that Apple took, which is to make it a closed ecosystem.
Sure.
I mean, you got to, if you're going to do that, it just doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, so you mean the mistake Google made was offering a free version of their operating system?
Right.
Yeah. I would just point out, too, I don't you know, Android is, I guess, 80%-ish of mobile devices, or 80% of smartphones. I don't remember the exact number. They don't really have the same kind of monopoly.
There's lots of good choices. Yeah.
And there are a lot of the bigger industrial countries in Europe, France, the UK, Germany. You know, the iPhone is going to have decent market share. It's not going to have, you know, 5% or 10%. It's going to be higher than that. So I don't know. This one's a little less clear to me.
Well, we'll see. And the good news is we'll see sooner than later. God, I remember when the DOJ prosecution of Microsoft began. That was right about when we began Tech TV. And then 6 years later, right about when we ended Tech TV, that finished up. Yeah. It was perfect.
Yeah. It dragged on and on.
It went on so long.
It did.
And, of course, the highlight of it was Bill Gates' 80-hour deposition.
Yeah, which, by the way, I had on videotape.
Did you?
And it was, oh, yes, it was a box of videotapes. Let me tell you, when you think about, like, spending a weekend watching, like, something like Lost or The Sopranos, this is nothing like that. It's more depressing than the Godfather trilogy. It's like, it is the most awful viewing experience ever. It's terrible.
But it's a piece of history you got there.
Do you still have it? All the videos?
I
wonder if that's online.
Yeah, I do. It's in a box somewhere, yeah.
It wasn't hidden or anything, right?
Anyone could get it. It's not like they filtered out the best bits for you. You got like the dump of it. Like, here it is, you know? Yeah. And it's up to you to sit there. It's got to be, you know, hundreds of hours or whatever it is. It's terrible.
Here's a 5-minute cut down on YouTube. What not to do during a DOJ deposition.
Whoever advised Gates to be like,
do you agree that Microsoft is the world's most respected computer software company?
Some people would agree with that, some people wouldn't.
What's your opinion?
I think we are the most, if you took it on a statistical basis, yes, we'd be the most respected software company.
You watched how many hours of this?
I got like 7 minutes in it.
Apart from the timing issue, would you agree that Internet Explorer is defined here correctly as Microsoft's web browser?
And did you actually read what was in there?
I read the first sentence. I could read you the whole thing if you'd like.
But it seems strange. If you're trying to use dictionary, you might as well read what it says. You can show it to me.
Yeah, well, I'll read it to you and I'll show it to you.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Yeah. Oh, Lord.
The good old Bill Gates days.
He gets even feistier.
Oh, man.
The Microsoft Computer Dictionary, the 1997 edition, defines killer app as follows. There's two definitions.
What's he drinking? Is that a Pabst Blue Ribbon there?
The first definition is an application of such popularity and widespread standardization that it fuels sales of the hardware platform or operating system for which it was written. Do you agree with that definition?
You're saying to me that there's more in there and you're just reading me part of it?
I'm going to read you the second definition as well.
So you were asking me about it without reading me the whole thing?
No, sir. It gives two definitions. You're familiar with dictionaries, I take it. Sometimes they have more than one
definition. Oh, that was not a good thing to say.
Sometimes terms have more than one meaning, so it's actually fairly appropriate that dictionaries would give the two different meanings. Oh, and generally, before you'd ask...
Okay, we're just going to... That's actually still going on. That's a live...
Yeah, 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 it feels like it. It's brutal.
Wow.
It is brutal.
It's... I hope I never get asked for a deposition. That's all.
There's so many books, you know, that were written about those days. That time, up at the trial, you know, and all the stuff they uncovered about Microsoft. It was very interesting, but it was a very unflattering portrait of the company. And I can't wait to read stuff like that about Google. I am very excited about this.
By the way, the judge presiding over the trial, when he saw that videotape, actually laughed out loud.
He did.
Sure.
I think I was there in court.
Were you? Year. Oh, that must have been a moment.
That's amazing. It really is amazing.
Oh. Okay. And by the way, I think most of that is on YouTube.
Is it?
If you really have a hankering, you can...
There's got to be an irony there somewhere, but sure.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Google's got it.
Yeah.
Look, what happens when you look at Bill Gates' deposition on Bing?
Oh, you know what? That's a good question.
It really
is. Just to compare a search engine.
Video. I'll look up Bill Gates' deposition video, right? That's what we want to know.
Yeah. By the way, Bing.com videos.
Yeah, but what's funny is they're all YouTube videos from Bing.com videos. It's a really like, let's go to our site and then we'll take you there.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Wow.
God, he was such a jerk. I love how beloved Bill Gates is, you know. He turned things around.
Do you think he's helping the world? Really?
I do, but I think he's changed a lot.
But he was kind of jerky then.
Yeah.
Like wiseacre kind of?
Yeah. Well, you know, Apple had an element of this as well. When you're scrappy, underdog, and then you're on top of the world, something doesn't flip in your head. You don't start acting differently.
Yeah, that's right.
You're still acting that way.
Yeah, Uber's like fighting scrappy little Uber.
Yeah.
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 And Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a sweetheart of a guy.
Love him.
I think we've heard that a bunch.
But I think you could forgive somebody like Bill or Steve because, first of all, you didn't have to deal with them directly. So it's easy to say, yeah, what a character. I'm not sure I would want to have been in the inner circle. But they did build amazing things.
The accomplishments of these men is unassailable. Yeah. I of course.
Yeah. I mean, you might not want to work for them.
I'm not going to go away on vacation with these guys.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's hard enough reporting on them, I can tell you.
Well, and that's the thing is you guys did have more direct contact. The only closest I ever came to Bill Gates was when Comdex one year at a Spencer the Cat party when we danced together.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Yeah. Well, not together, but he was like right there.
In a group.
In a white man's.
He must be a good dancer.
Just like that. Sticks out his butt, bites his lower lip. It's a beautiful thing.
Nice.
Let's take a break. Unless you want to say anything more about this Google thing.
No. Whew, once again, an hour in and we're already finished one story.
It's the big story.
After all these years, we've gotten really good at making this thing just run like an oiled machine.
You know that we will spend much time on it in a couple hours on This Week in Google. This is going to be, and Jeff will have the opposite point of view. So it's good to have that. Our show today brought to you by those great people at Prosper, a very great example of how the internet is changing the way we do so many things, making transactions nearly friction-free. In this case, borrowing money. In the past, you could ask a friend, or a relative, that's not going to go well. Maybe at first, and then it goes south. I guarantee you, you will lose the relationship. You could go to Jimmy the Greek down at the bar. I wouldn't. You could go to a bank, hat in hand, put on a necktie and all that stuff. Now there's another choice. Prosper is a marketplace that brings people who want to lend money out to people who want to borrow money. It kind of simplifies the transactions, much more direct drive. You could get, in fact, if you're interested, a low fixed rate loan from Prosper.com in as little as 5 days, as much as $35,000, and use it for just about anything you want. Paying off high rate credit cards is one of the most common uses for these loans because the rate is so much lower than what you're paying on the credit card. It's the right thing to do. Just consolidate all that debt. You could fix up the house. You could put it into your business. Prosper's online marketplace connects people who need money with those who want to invest. Don't rack up more debt on your credit cards. Pay them off with Prosper. Don't share one bathroom with 15 people. Remodel. To check your low rate instantly without affecting your good credit, go to prosper.com/twit. And for a limited time, Prosper is offering Twit viewers a $50 Visa gift card with your low interest loan. You can get up to $35,000 in your account as in few as 5 days and a $50 Visa gift card. Go to prosper.com/twit for this special offer. Prosper.com/twit. Windows Weekly, Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. Continuing on, let's talk about Microsoft. I just got my update on my 1520 for Windows 10 Mobile. So I think I did. Well, I'm on the fast track. And it said I had an update, but I don't know. You know, I'm not looking at it right now. So is it coming?
Well, you know, last week when we had Gabe all on the show.
He said Friday.
He said Friday, right?
And I think I got something.
He gave us a time.
Yeah, but I think
he gave us a time.
You didn't get something?
Yeah. No, well, I was just going to say what happened on Friday at the time when he said it was going to come across, they had a server error.
Oh.
And so everybody's hitting the server trying to get the build. And then they had to take it offline for 2 hours. So a few people got the build, okay. And then they had to take it down and fix it. So because various things were blocking people being able to get the bits. So it was a little rocky Friday.
It was a little
happens.
Let me tell you how rocky it was. It was 1 p.m. was the time that, if 1 p.m. Eastern was the time this thing was going to go out. I had it on my phone at, I think it was 5 p.m. So
that's why I didn't notice, because I didn't rush at 1 p.m. Yeah. Eastern to get it. I just waited.
But the awesome thing, Leo, is once you finally do get it installed, it is really terrible. So you got that going for you. It's not good.
So the first thing it asked me to do, it says, make a password for this phone, which I thought I did. But anyway, make a password for this phone. And then I entered a password and then I kept clicking OK and nothing happened. I couldn't actually do anything. Like, none of the buttons were live anymore.
Oh, then you did get it. So there you got it, huh?
That's how you prove
first,
it.
Let's say what people were supposed to see. It was going to have a lot of new things, right? Mm-hmm. It was going to have the Spartan browser, the new browser for the first time. Yeah. A bunch of the new universal apps, so Outlook Mail and Outlook Calendar were going to be in there.
And remember, a lot more phones. That was the big deal. I mean, really went up for a bunch of phones.
Yeah, my 1520 got something. Yeah.
Right. This is what we expected from the initial release. It was a nice list.
Yeah.
Yes. So then when people got it, I can tell you this week on my Twitter feed, everyone almost in my feed is complaining that they don't like how the new universal apps look, because they feel like what made them very distinguishable as Windows Phone apps has gone away, and now they look pretty much like Android apps.
Yep.
And people don't like that too much. At least a lot of the people on my Twitter feed do not.
Hmm.
But, you know, I think I understand why they're doing this. Part of the, even though universal apps means universal across Windows platforms, part of what Microsoft is doing, especially with Office when they talk about universal, is they're taking the code base that is also the code base for iOS and Android, and they're trying to use as much of that as possible in building these apps. So they're going to start looking more alike.
I
think so too.
But people didn't like that too much. And that seems to be one of the biggest bones of contention. Plus, you couldn't use any of your Office files, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OneNote, because that has been disabled in this build.
Oh.
They're in the midst of redoing the Office mobile hub, so you can't use that anymore. I think alarms don't work now. I mean, there's just a bunch of things test build.
A lot of networking issues, too. You know, so there are people who can't enable or disable Wi-Fi or airplane mode, things like that.
Yeah.
So don't do it if you're not willing to take a chance with a technical preview, right?
Exactly.
It's not done, but...
I was so happy after I started reading people's reports that the Lumia icon could not get this build, because I was thinking about taking it, and I'm like, oh, thank goodness I couldn't get that build.
Yeah, because you use it as your day-to-day phone. You don't want to do that.
I have an extra icon, too. I have an extra icon.
I was going to say, use a second phone if you can.
Yeah,
sure.
Here's the problem, and we don't really have this in the notes, I don't think, but I've heard this now from multiple people, including Lance McCarthy recently, where, you know, people will install this build and they'll say, oh, you know, this is really kind of garbage. I want to go back to Windows Phone 8.1. And Microsoft actually has two different utilities that will do this. Leo, you used one to bork your 1520.
Yes, that was a Nokia.
Well, by the way, you suddenly have company, because I believe you were the first person on Earth to ever brick a phone.
I'm not alone. All right, am I?
Now a lot of people are bricking their
phones. I noticed. And I got a lot of people
saying. But it's really weird. Yeah. This has never really happened.
Yeah.
And the sheer number of people that are having this issue is kind of troubling. I've actually brought a few phones back using one of those recovery tools, and I've had no issues, but a lot of people have.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Lots of good reasons to try this build.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one thing to have an update that you're not crazy about. It's another thing to brick your phone.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I was able to send my phone to a good home. A fellow did brain surgery on it, took the screen off, put it on his.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm a trendsetter. What can I say?
I do think you were first.
Yeah. Not in a good way. Some people are not getting.
Yeah,
what they thought they were going to get. What is
right. This is interesting. Yeah, go ahead.
I know. Well, you're the one who I think first pointed this out, or one of the first people who did. So
no,
people,
I wasn't.
You weren't? Okay.
No.
Some people, when they started trying to get the Windows 10 mobile build, they were getting something else instead of that when they were downloading. And it turns out, I think it was Windows Phone GDR2. Is that right?
Or wow.
Yeah, GDR2.
It's like getting a golden yeah. ticket in your Wonka bar. That's great.
Which, by the way, is... We don't know a lot about it.
You don't have to have GDR2 to have this Windows 10 build, right? Like,
no.
It's not a prerequisite.
No one has this right now, except for some people Lumia 640 users, yeah.
Oh, only 640, okay. So some people get that, and then that was a mistake, but they ended up getting that. And I don't know if afterwards they also get Windows
Yeah, you can get, 10? Some of them do, some of them don't. And what did I do with that phone? I kept it on one of my phones, you know, because I want to, you know, every once in a while something new will crop up that, you know, is new to this release. Is it on here? I think the way it's supposed to work is it would just keep going, you know. But I guess you could just keep it on that build if you wanted to. I mean, there's no reason to upgrade if you don't want to.
Yeah. It was, let's just say Friday probably was a really tough day when you were sitting in Gabe Ahl's chair.
Poor Gabe.
I feel bad. You know, you met him. He's a great guy.
He's great.
That was not a good day.
No.
It was just not a good day.
Yeah. I saw him at one point. Somebody said to him, Gabe, why aren't you answering my question? And he said, I'm getting 300 tweets per minute. I'm sorry. I'm doing my best.
Yeah. 300 tweets a minute. Wow.
I was like, oh, boy.
Wow.
He had a bad day.
He had a bad day.
No good, terrible, very bad day.
Yeah. I've seen people worrying about this because they said that a lot of people are saying if this is mid-April right now and Microsoft said Windows 10 is going to RTM this summer and things are this rough, can they really do this? And, you know, one thing I'll point out there is we haven't heard that summer date means every version of Windows 10. It may just mean Windows 10 for the desktop. It may not mean mobile. We don't know that level of granularity, so they may have a little more time. Plus, once they RTM, especially on the phone, they still can keep updating the operating system because then the carriers and the handset makers both have to test it. So that usually delays it by quite a bit as well. I don't know. You know, it does look very rough from everything I've read and
actually
seen.
from past history, we know with Windows Phone, you know, even if these things are RTM'd on the same day, so maybe it's August or whatever.
Yeah.
Windows 10 is done, you know. Between that date and the date that carriers actually put the software on phone, months go by and Microsoft ships further updates. They have RTM'd Windows Phone in the past, understanding that updates would go out after the release. This is something we saw with, I don't remember if it was 8.0 or 8.1, when they finally, you know, opened the developer preview program. It must have been 8.1, where we started seeing updates after the supposed final version of it, because that's how that works. So.
Yeah.
You know, that could be part of the planning as well.
I think it is. I mean, I think even after Windows 10 RTMs on any platform, the plan is to keep updating it every month or even more frequently maybe with new features and fixes. So it's not really done, you know.
It's never done.
Paul, there's somebody else on Twitter, one of our listeners who goes by Sherlock Holmes. He said he got GDR2 on the Lumia 730 when he was downloading it.
Yeah,
too.
I'm trying to, I can't remember which one I got it on now.
It's pretty funny. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a mess, but hopefully there's another build around the corner. It'll fix it.
Well, and Paul, you mentioned there are two tools to roll it back. What are the two tools people want to know?
So, the first one is called the Windows Phone, I think it's just called the Windows Phone Recovery Tool. Which is supposed to work with every Windows Phone device. And so right now, only Lumias are getting Windows 10 preview. So it doesn't really matter now. But in the future, that might be more important if you have an HTC or Samsung or whatever. There's also a tool that used to be called, this is the one you used, the Nokia Software Recovery Tool, I think it was called. And now it's called the Lumia. Let's look it up here.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Now it's called the Lumia Software Recovery Tool. slightly different UIs. It does the same exact thing. It pulls down, it looks at your phone, says this is the latest retail image for your device based on not just the hardware, but the, you know, where the phone's from. Because if you're an AT&T, let's say, and they haven't rolled out update one or something, you're not going to get update one. You'll go back to, you know, Windows 8.1, the original release or whatever. And so the difference between the two tools, I think, other than the UI, is that the Lumia version is just for Lumias. And I think the Windows Phone recovery tool is for, you know, all Windows Phone devices. Yeah, Windows Phone recovery tool.
Thank you.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's good to know.
Mary Jo's not going to do it anyway.
I'm going to wait.
I recommend it.
I am definitely going to really wait don't. Because, yeah, when I was watching what people were doing and going through, I'm like, you know what? I'm interested in seeing this, but I'm not that interested.
Well, even like, you know, Saturday morning, the day after, I got up and I think, you know, it's going to be a good day. It's not going to be like yesterday. And I started upgrading phones and I got Windows Phone, you know, update 2, GDR2. And I thought, all right, I need to slow this down.
Oh, so you were one of the people who did.
This is just weird, you know, because originally I was like, I'm going to put this on a bunch of phones, you know.
Yeah.
And I think I got it on 2 or 3 and I actually rolled back at least 2.
Wow. That bad.
It's just not worth. Oh. Yeah, it's just not worth.
So don't do it, kids. You may be tempted. Don't do it.
Yep.
Some new low-end handsets. When are we going to... I want to get a new flagship
high-end
phone.
Handset.
Yeah, but not in the offing.
One of the new things that Microsoft does is, since it's taken over the Lumia line, is it will announce a low-end Lumia handset, as it does, I think, every 3 days. And it will announce the pricing in U.S. dollars. And then it will say, this will be available at whatever time in EMA, in Asia, in Italy, in Indonesia, and wherever it is, but never in the United States. And so the pricing is always in U.S. dollars, but the device itself, is it's not available here. So, yeah.
That's because American greenbacks are the gold standard for currency everywhere.
Fair enough.
I mean, if you're going to pick one, they could, I mean, what?
If they could pick one.
What one are you going to pick? Rubles?
Well, I would pick the one that was the biggest market for maybe. Which the phone would be sold. So, you
but
know,
that
I would
might
pick
be
maybe
offensive.
In this case,
that might
the
be
Euro.
Culturally offensive.
Okay. All right. It could be.
I figure they just say, hey, we're an American company. We're going to use American greenbacks, even though, ha ha,
yeah,
you can't
US
get
dollars,
it.
And I think, oh, that's exciting. I want to buy this
I
phone
buy
for
it. Right.
$50.
Right.
Where do I do that? Oh, I don't.
That's a side effect they didn't think about.
Or they just don't care.
Or they don't care. So the 540 dual SIM Lumia. How much is that
low end
in American
another
dollars?
Another Snapdragon 200, you know, like because we needed another one of those. 5-inch screen, 720p.
Why do they do this? Why? Yeah. Why do we need another one?
If this sounds a lot like other phones that they've announced in the past 3 months, I'm with you. I don't know.
Is it the
it comes
dual
with
SIM?
Skype.
Yeah, it's not a selfie phone, right? I mean, or
actually it is. It has a selfie
okay.
camera.
So, but is the dual SIM what makes it different? No.
They're right? all dual SIM.
Yeah, I mean a lot the dual SIM is very common in
Lumia.
Yeah,
they're all dual SIM. That's how you know it's not going to be sold in the
720p is about as high as they're going to go these days on the screen. 5-inch screens, you know.
That's fine. Well, somebody said they should
Snapdragon 200 seriously. Like seriously.
But I just don't know what the differentiator
did
is.
Did you get these things on sale?
It's, like,
you know, they're in like a cereal box or something.
Like, we got a truckload of Snapdragon 200s and
hey, who ordered the 2 million Snapdragon 200 processor? That guy got laid off. What are we going to do with these things?
Make more phones.
Yeah. Make more Lumias.
You like the blue though, the new HDLT.
I do like the Scion.
Yeah. It's called the Scion?
Cyan, the color.
Cyan. That's confusing. Company's name is Blue. The phone's name is the Cyan. The update's
name
is Cyan.
Oh, you're talking about the Blue. I'm sorry.
Oh, what are you talking about? Oh, so the Lumia is called a Cyan?
The Lumia Blue is called Cyan.
I never. No, I'm confused. Mary Jo, are you following this?
No.
Okay.
Too many Cyans, not enough bittersweet.
So confused. So, let's talk about the Blue HD LTE. It's a better phone.
Right.
says Paul.
So this one's available in the United States. Oh. It's $200.
That's a little pricey. I don't know.
But it's a mid-level phone. It's got a new processor, too. It's a Snapdragon 410. It's a 5-inch screen, 720p. It's nice construction. It's got a same camera, same rear camera, 8-megapixel rear camera. It's not a Lumia device, so you don't get the Lumia apps, which could be a problem for some people. But when you compare it to, say, like the most comparable Lumia is probably like an 830, Lumia 830. In the United States, that thing, no contract, is over $400. If you buy it no contract from international, like on Amazon, it's about, I think it was $170-ish.
Oh.
But it doesn't do LTE.
Ah.
So the Blue device, the Blue WinHD LTE, is $200. So it's $25 more, but it does LTE. It does have dual SIMs. I don't actually think that's a big deal here in the U.S., but it does do dual SIMs if you want that. It's pretty good. I mean, it's a nice phone. I mean, I don't immediately dispense this one sort of in my head like I do with the Lumia 5, whatever we're calling it, 540. God, these model numbers are like Oldsmobiles from the 70s. It's like, really, what are they doing?
Yeah. Well, it's all tied to the number of horses under the hood, or maybe it's the number of cubic centimeters.
The cylinders or the...
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what's an Oldsmobile 442? It's like four doors, four tires. And
two passengers.
I don't know. Like, what is the point of this? I don't know.
Who wrote this article? You want the best mobile platform for Microsoft apps? Try iOS. Oh, it's under Therat.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, as a long-running advocate of Apple's platforms, I thought I would just remind you. No, you know... I just kind of look, if you just look at the world as it is today, and Microsoft's moving to this, you know, I almost said devices and services, you know, this mobile first, cloud first kind of thing. Where the most apps are from them is on iOS.
Yep.
And it's not just the most apps, it's the best apps. Like the quality of them is better. Even when there were versions on Android, the Android versions are often in preview, whereas the ones on iOS are more full featured and they're just kind of out there and they work right. And there are unique apps. There are certain apps that are only on iOS, like Sway, you know, for example.
And it's only iPhone. I like Sway, though.
On the iPhone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't even use the iPhone full time, obviously.
Yeah.
But I looked at the Microsoft apps I have on my iPhone, and there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more of them in the store that I don't have. I mean, it's very interesting to me.
Is this hedging their bets, or is it what Satya Nadella said, we just want to be everywhere our users are?
I think it's both.
Yeah. Just in case this Windows thing,
it's both.
doesn't go.
Some of it's catch up. You know, a lot of mobile first, cloud first is we got to get out there and get on these platforms. And Android came a little more slowly, I think, because Apple or Microsoft had years of experience on Apple's platforms previously. They had a lot of people that knew the, you know, language that you would program in, the programming environment. I think they were able to get it up and going a little more quickly. And I think the Android stuff, and I'm conjecturing here. I don't really know, but my guess is it took them a little longer to get ramped up on Android. And Android has challenges, too. There's so many different devices, device types, you know, screens. And, you know, it's a mess. It's like Windows. So it's a different thing. I think on Apple, on the Apple side, it's a little easier, you know, to come out with an app that's going to work right because you don't target as many different types of devices, too.
By the way.
But it's an interesting thing, you know. The Apple one is the best one, you know, if you're a Microsoft guy.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be a little frustrating.
Or gal. Somebody said I was sexist today for referring to Microsoft guys.
Yeah, or gal. Greg Bilton says it's 400 cubic inches.
This is 442. Yeah, no, of course. It's like four in the floor.
And
yeah, four in the floor. Yeah,
two carbs.
Oh, two carbs. Two carburetors. Well,
two carburetors. But now Eric Duckman says
it's
two exhausts.
I don't think there were ever 442s. Oh, yeah. Two exhausts, absolutely.
Yeah. So...
Yeah, we used to joke about that. I had a friend who had a 442, so it was like four. I can't remember the joke anymore. It was like four,
like
two doors,
four
tires,
four doors,
four cylinders, two engines, yeah. Which is the exact opposite of what that car was. Yeah, I know it was two on the floor was part of it.
Yeah,
or four on the floor.
Four on the floor.
It was literally a 4-speed stick shift.
God, my car has like 30 speeds.
You needed to be able to, like, bench press 200 pounds to shift this thing to it. But it wasn't like a... electronically assisted or anything. It was like a stick coming up out of the floor. It was out of metal.
It was direct to the metal.
Yeah, exactly. You were literally changing metal in the engine.
You know, those were the days when driving was driving.
It was nice.
So, a couple of things going on with Nokia. They've said they've made noises that they might want to sell off the Here Maps, the whole mapping division.
Yep.
And then they apparently are putting in a bid for Alcatel-Lucent.
Which I believe means they will become a networking company. I think, in other words, what they've decided is this is the business.
Yeah.
Nokia is now this.
Get rid of the nav.
Which, by the way, explains the tablet they announced. But, know, whatever.
Yeah. Try to sell those.
But I think, maybe this is the direction.
Yeah.
And also, I think in the patent business, licensing business, because you can bet with Alcatel.
They still have that division. Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to pick up a lot of patents.
Lucent has a ton of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much did Microsoft pay these guys? Was it $7.2 billion?
It was.
Wow.
So, and how much are they going to acquire Alcatel and Nortel, whatever it is? What's the price there? It was more than 7.2, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was $6.2 billion or something. I can't remember.
Was it?
Yeah, it was a lot. Yeah.
But it's like getting money from your parents to buy a car.
No, it's a stock, though. So, I'm sorry. $16.6 billion.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's more.
$17 billion.
$17 billion. Dollars.
I mean, I can't. I would imagine a lot of that is in stock or something.
It's almost all stock, I think.
I can't imagine they have this cash.
It is. It's all stock, yeah.
The check from Microsoft is like sitting on the guy's dresser. He still hasn't put it in the bank.
It's a really interesting... and for Lucent, because Lucent, of course, used to be Bell Labs.
Right.
Oh, right. Yep.
Where Unix was invented. Mm-hmm. Right. C programming language was invented. So much of the modern world was invented.
By the way, I just point out, Mary Jo said something about patents, and that's the other part of their business.
Yeah.
Ultimately, this is what happens to those companies. Because when your only business is licensing patents and then suing people that aren't licensing your patents... You can make a little run with that, but that's not like this is not like a long term business, you know. I mean, eventually you get bought as new markets come up and people want that technology or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. But it was funny when the word about them maybe selling off Here came out. It was like late last week. A Bloomberg report said that Nokia might be selling the Here Maps division. So many people on Twitter were like, that's stupid. That is never going to happen. That's too valuable. Sure. I can't believe anyone's even thinking that. And today, they confirmed, yes, we're thinking about spinning it off. Yeah, yeah. And one of the potential buyers, by the way, is who's been mentioned is Uber.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, yes. That's true.
That's how cash rich they are.
Yes.
Wow.
And, you know, everyone's wondering, what about Microsoft? Because Microsoft does use Here technology in conjunction with Bing Maps. Yeah. And they did buy the other parts of Nokia, even though they did lay off half of the people. You know, I've read conflicting things about that now. I read that Steve Ballmer wanted
it.
Yeah. Steve Ballmer wanted it. The board said no. And then I've read other reports saying, well, Nokia never was going to sell it to them anyway. And they wanted to keep it.
Here's the thing. I think strategically it makes sense for Microsoft, but the real reason for Microsoft to buy it is so that someone else doesn't get it. Imagine if Apple bought it or Yahoo bought it. You know, you don't want it falling into the hands of someone who, A, may not be interested in licensing it to you anymore, and B, may no longer need you because now they have their own mapping technology.
Yep.
Basically, my strategy is always go nuclear. I don't know if that's obvious yet, but I think that's how they should do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that could be interesting. And Nokia did say today they are investigating the idea of selling Here, but they didn't say we are trying to sell Here. So it's still not confirmed, but
it kind of makes sense with this other thing. Like it's a complete realignment of the company.
Right. It does. Yeah. 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 And I think it was Bloomberg who pointed out that Here Maps right now is valued at $2 billion. But when Nokia bought Navtech, they bought them for $8 billion.
Wow.
So at this point, they're just trying to recover something.
At least $650 million today.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Remember that this landscape's changed a lot. Navtech.
It has.
There were two companies, Navtech and was it Telenav, that really had all the mapping.
Sure.
And so that was a big thing. You were buying half the GPS market when you bought one of them. Right. And it was a big deal that Nokia bought that. But this just shows you how fast this stuff moves. That wasn't that long ago.
Right. Yeah.
But standalone GPSs, the whole world of mapping has been completely changed by Google.
Yep.
And Apple to a lesser degree. So now you've got to figure. I think Apple could really benefit from here. They need some, you know, more data.
Yep. And, you know, Microsoft's always trying to spend offshore cash. So
both companies, right, don't want to repatriate cash.
Right.
Uber's an interesting play.
I know, yeah. That is. And the other rumored buyer is a conglomerate of German car companies.
Well, that would make sense. That would save probably save them money, right? Because they can
Uber buying Here Maps is like Gateway buying Amiga, you know?
Yeah, it's a bad idea.
It's like, I sort of understand, and we can just kiss that goodbye.
I wouldn't. It would be a bad thing for
that would just
consumers.
Be spiraling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would hope that Nokia would want to sell to somebody that's going to do something good with the division. I like the Here Maps a lot.
Microsoft is familiar with writing big checks with their name on it. That's all I'm saying. I might want to give them a shot.
I would guess.
I like the Here Maps stuff, too.
Oh, I love it. And you can download those maps. I've downloaded all of Europe and North America on my little phone here. I mean, it's kind of amazing, really.
Yeah, it is.
And so now I can use it offline. I mean, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's neat.
We used it in Vietnam everywhere we went. We downloaded the maps, and they were really accurate.
We use them in Europe, and we do this exactly. You download the maps, and you're offline, and it works great.
Yep. I love
it.
Yeah, when we were in Nam, we used it all the time.
We used it, yeah, sure.
But you know what was interesting? In Cambodia, they didn't have maps.
At all?
Offline maps they didn't have.
Here it is. Yeah.
It's not everywhere, right?
That's Here's interesting.
Not Here is not everywhere.
It's not there.
Let me hold on. I need to think about that one.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
Yeah. Boy, I think it's a great value to both Microsoft and Apple, but Microsoft, given that there's a question mark about its mobile going forward, might be.
What do you mean, Leo? I've never heard that.
I'd be reluctant to. I think it's more valuable to Apple than anybody.
What are you saying?
I think that Apple will outbid everybody.
Although Microsoft, you can make the case now that they're cross-platform, they could try to say, "Hey, we're going to put Here Maps on every platform, part of our cross-platform strategy."
Why do they want to do that, though?
We want to get Here Maps just so we can put it back on iOS. Microsoft.
Then, if you believe the freemium strategy, right, there'll be free maps, but then there's going to be something that is paid.
Jeez, there we go. If you want offline maps, you have to subscribe to Here 365.
Oh, God.
I could see that, actually. Yeah,
it could be. It could be.
Yep.
I predict.
I should never have uttered those words. Somewhere a light went off in Redmond where someone was like, you know.
Wait a minute. He might be right.
He was joking, but that's an excellent
Quick
idea.
Madge. Get me Elop on the phone. Oh, no. He's Wusia.
Right. Actually, it would be Elop.
Would it? Yeah.
Anyways, Elop runs the mobile business.
Yeah. Get me Elop. Quick. I predict a massive bidding war is going on right now between at least Microsoft and Apple, maybe some other companies.
But the effect of putting out feelers like Nokia did.
Oh, yeah, that's why they're doing it.
It's going to generate the excitement that will be even greater than they expected. And who knows? They may decide, look at all the excitement. It's really worth something. Let's hold on to it, which would be a huge mistake.
Now's the time, guys.
Yeah, I think so.
Sell it while it's hot.
I think so.
Yeah. I think this is that they raised that trial balloon expecting a little bit of a, you know, it's like dipping a can of tuna fish into a piranha basin. They're they're just waiting. They're waiting. Yep. It'd be smart.
I think so.
Although if Apple gets Here, somebody's pointing out, they'll probably kill it on iOS, on Android and Windows Phone and make it iOS only, right?
Yes. Ooh. So horrible.
That's why Microsoft's got a bid.
It won't be horrible. We'll all be using iPhones per my article, so it's no problem.
Yeah.
Oh, I dread a future.
What a world. You know.
I dread that.
I really think Microsoft should do everything they can to get this.
I think they I think they have to. I mean, I think the sky's the limit.
I looked this up at the time, but I think the license for Here mapping technology, location stuff, was 4 years, possibly five.
Yeah.
And I assume that whoever purchases it would have to live up to that agreement. But we're about a year in now. I mean, I don't know. Is the thought that Bing Maps is going to go off and be its own thing and be good enough for that? I mean, that stuff is tough. Navigation with
Right.
Live updates and traffic. And
Apple learned that lesson.
Yep.
Yeah.
You can't just, you know, whip it up.
You can't just call it map.app and think it's going to work. You know, it's it's very difficult.
That's really interesting. I hadn't really, you know, kind of thought it out in my mind, but that's a really interesting. And Google is sitting pretty. They're the ones with all the data, the years of research.
Well, this is where the insane ways. Google thing makes sense. You know, they're the biggest data collecting entity on Earth. I mean, them doing maps does make sense. I wish Google Maps was on Windows, you know, Windows Phone. I mean, my wife's, you know, when we're out in the world and we're doing stuff around here with maps, my wife's phone is always up to date. It's always adjusting the route because of an accident occurred. And, you know, it's always really up to date. The Nokia one's like, oh, no, you'll have no problem getting to the airport in 20 minutes. That's how long it takes. Really? Because it's 5 p.m. Are you sure it's going to take 20 minutes?
Mary you know,
and then like
Cambodia,
an hour and 35 you... minutes later, you've been watching it kind of recalibrating the time.
No,
the whole
I guess
time.
I was wrong.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maps is a tough one. It's not like a. I'm trying to think of it. It's not like a Notepad app.
No, it's a very big data. It's a big data
hard computer science issue,
and that's why Google's so good at it. It's a big data app. In Cambodia, did you end up using Google Maps, Mary Jo?
What did we do? No, I don't know what we did. One of my friends had an Android phone, so yeah,
and he used Google Maps. Yeah,
yep. Yeah. There you go.
Like, wait, what did we do?
you just don't have offline capabilities, basically.
Right. Actually, you do. Even then,
well, for a route, you do.
Ahead of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you remember, you can download an area on Google's maps. But yeah, no, I think nobody knows that. It's well hidden.
At some point, Google is going to have to do offline maps. I can't believe they haven't. And at that point, you're kind of running out of advantages for here. You know.
Do you think there's some skittishness, though, given how rapidly this has changed? I mean... Whatever happened to MapQuest?
On Google's part?
No, just in general. It's hard to look 4 years ahead and say you know where mapping's going to be.
Yeah.
Okay, but I know Google's going to be there. I think Google is the one that's the no question. I like it, but...
Well, that's what I'm saying. How much is it worth, really?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, you want to sell it now?
Yeah.
By the way, if tomorrow Google announced offline maps for everybody, I mean, the value of here goes down about 50% right there. Here maps, they're in cars and all that kind of stuff. But
yeah, that's who's
It's still a dwindling.
The other group, of course, as you mentioned, German car manufacturers, whatever, the car makers might very much want here to get. But now, well, you know what they're doing now, though, and the smart thing for them to do is the in-car stuff with Apple and Android.
Yeah.
Where you just bring your phone and it goes, okay.
Well, that's smart for car makers, too, because they don't have to deal with this stuff.
They don't have to deal with it. They don't have to update it. You know. Their update cycle is so different, out of touch with
it. It's like, how did we make this work? You implemented Bluetooth. We're done.
Yeah, done.
Yeah.
You know.
Done. Hey, you know what's really exciting? The Surface 3.
Yes.
And you guys...
excuse this criticism, Leo. Not your best segue.
wait a minute. How about this? Guess what's really exciting? The Surface 3. And Paul and Mary Jo are soaking in it.
Yeah.
Is that better?
I like that.
Mm-hmm. No. All right.
I used it this week. I took it with me as my exclusive machine one day when I was out and about. So I was soaking in it all day.
And?
There were good things. There were bad things. I've been surprised how much I am constrained by the new keyboard. I know it's not really that much thinner, but man, I feel so cramped typing on that thing. Yeah. Do you?
Yes. I mean, my hand, first of all, I have giant gorilla hands. So, yes.
Yeah.
The funny thing about the keyboard is it's not that much smaller.
I know.
Than other
it's
keyboards.
Not that much
it is smaller.
Smaller.
But there's something about it because you're kind of on top of it. You feel.
Yeah.
I wonder if it, and that's why I made the comment. I made this comment on Twitter and I was roundly ridiculed for this. But if you could separate it from the tablet and use it kind of like a Bluetooth keyboard. I actually think that would alleviate part of the problem. But, you know, obviously you can't. That's right. Interesting, though. Yeah, I certainly feel that way.
Yeah, and you know, I always say before I talk about typing, because what we do for our jobs, we type a lot. And I think a lot of people who may use this device will type a couple emails and then they'll like be done. But we sit there and we type and we type and we type. At the end, my hands were so cramped. Yeah. I was just like, oh, I want a real keyboard.
You guys are professional typers, really.
But it is aimed at students. Yeah. And it's also aimed at mobile professionals. I mean,
But you don't have any problem with the Surface Pro keyboard. Just this new Surface 3.
The other keyboard is a speck wider, and it's not a ton wider, but it just that little difference. I just feel like I can type way better on the original type keyboard than I can on this one. Mm-hmm. Not sure why. I like the weight, though. Very light, very well balanced. The battery held on for the whole day just barely, which was good. And all I was doing was TweetDeck. What else was I doing? I didn't have a ton of things running, and it still really used up my battery quite a bit. Not sure why. But Connected Standby working better. I'm very happy about that. So when you're not using it, it seems like your battery isn't just being eaten away like it was, at least for me on the Surface RT. My battery was done no matter what I did. So that's good.
Yeah, I've been doing battery tests, and one of the things I've been doing is run a couple of videos in a row and then let it sit and gauge the battery life when you left it compared to when you come back. And there's a little leakage there, and it's not very precise, obviously, to do it that way, but it's definitely better than these devices used to be.
Mm. Well, one thing I don't want to have with anything I carry around is leakage.
Right.
Oh. Right.
I'm not... Not good. And let's get the latest on Loopgate.
No.
I wrote what I consider to be my most important story ever, Leo.
Oh.
The story of Surface Pen Loop.
An ode to the loop. Oh, how I love thee, Loop. Let me count the ways. You want me to read it dramatically?
No.
Dramatic reading for you?
No.
An ode to Surface Pen Loop. Look, there it is in all its pristine beauty. Did you know that loop in French is boucle pour stylet? Or in Spanish is porta plumas. Porta plumas. Bouche pour stylet is really good.
Porta plumas.
Is Spanish. Porta plumas. Porta plumas. I love that. Like Loop is such a prosaic name.
Yeah.
Let's all call them from now on. Hey, did you get the porta plumas?
Le bouche.
Le boucle. Boucle.
Le bouche.
I'm going to ask you why you put the credit card receipt in the article.
I'm trying to show you how small Surface Loop is. So if you look at the next picture, you'll see that it's smaller than the credit card I used to make the purchase.
Well, you've really gone in depth.
That's the point.
In-depth research.
We had an unboxing. I saw
Did you do
it.
An unboxing of the loop? I mean, sorry,
well,
the boucle?
This is just the whole.
Oh my God.
Yep.
He's got a problem.
Oh,
a loop problem.
You gotta read that paragraph.
Fully extended, the Surface Pen Loop packaging magically extends by 2.5 times its original size. I don't know how Microsoft accomplished this magic, but based on a recent viewing of Interstellar, I suspect some form of wormhole or singularity is at play, where physics, as I understand it, is expanded into additional dimensions.
Yep.
And what's this? Microsoft helpfully provides instructions for the exact placement and orientation of Surface Pen Loop on your type cover, and it does so without using a single written word in any language. This too may be seen as magic.
It's incredible.
But you know, this loop looks so much better than third-party loops.
It does have that authenticity thing going for it.
Didn't somebody do a mock-up of a loop with a Therat logo? I think I saw that.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I want.
A signature edition loop.
Oh, yep. Forget the mug. I want the Therat logo loop. That's what we're talking.
I know. I think that's your new giveaway at events.
I'm going to be careful here because I'm running my battery tests, but I put my... Where is it? Look at that. So I got my logo on the Surface 3.
Oh, that's nice. That's pretty. So you can get those as stickers now?
Soon. I'm kind of testing stickers.
doing a beta?
I hope you put the same obsessive attention to detail into that as you did into this loop article.
Yeah. You know I will.
Wait a minute. The key, of course, is the adhesive. It's protected under a thin plastic cover that, when removed, could stick Surface Pen Loop to virtually any surface. The key is to stick it to the type cover and not, say, the table. I can do this, I thought, and I removed the plastic cover. Here, I admit my courage failed.
I'm really this pleased at something I've done.
Why? This is awesome!
And I'm perhaps overly happy with this.
I think this is the best article you've ever written, Paul Therat.
I think that was my point.
This
Look
rivals
at that action shot.
The Delphi 3 Super Bible for its...
you're not the first person to note that.
Attention to detail. Oh, the fit was snug. What if the adhesive, not as magical as I was led to believe, separated from the back of the type cover while I was inserting the pen? Perhaps I should have waited, given the adhesive time to do its thing. Perhaps I... No, it just worked. There's nothing too small and too inexpensive not to obsess over. That looks good. Nicely, John, done. How many pictures are in this article? 1, 2, 3. This rivals the Verge's Apple Watch review in its production value.
I told you the greatest thing a reader ever said to me, right? When I went to the Windows 7 launch event in the Netherlands, in Amsterdam, or in the Hague, and I was signing copies of Windows 7 Secrets. And this guy waited in line and he said, "Let me ask you a question. If Windows 7 is so easy to use, why is your book over 1,000 pages long?" And I said, "It's padded with screenshots."
They tend to fill up the space. Hellcat says, and I agree with him, "I smell a Pulitzer here."
Yes, a Pulitzer, as we call it.
A Pulitzer. Yeah, a Pulitzer. See, you Bostonians know how to pronounce that correctly. A lot of people in the rest of the country call it a Pulitzer, but we know better. We know better. It's a Pulitzer.
It sounds ignorant when you say it.
Sounds so ignorant when you say Pulitzer.
Pulitzer.
I'm listening to that Steve Jobs book, which I know you hate, Paul, but actually I like a lot.
No, you misunderstand. I think there's the agenda that he set out for himself was not achieved. I mean, I think what we've discovered at the end of this book is that Steve Jobs is exactly what we thought he was.
Right. But. Yeah, it's not revelatory in any way.
By the way, here's a revelation. And I accused Apple of this when it happened. In whatever year, Steve Jobs got on stage at Macworld after CES and said, I've invented this thing called the digital hub. And the Mac is going to sit in the middle of this hub and all your devices are around it. And you show this big picture. And I said, wow, Microsoft just announced that at CES like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And I think what I wrote at the time was something along the lines of, A, no one is ever going to remember Microsoft did this first. And B, it's possible, even likely, that they came to the same conclusion at the same time. Okay, fine. And we all know how the future went. I mean, Apple got it right. Microsoft didn't. It doesn't really matter. In the book, some guy from Apple saw the CES keynote and went to Jobs and said, "You got to change everything. We got to do this."
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't – they literally copied it from Microsoft. Yeah.
That was actually good. That's to amazing. Read that. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Schlender in the book says that basically Bill Gates gave Steve Jobs his marching orders.
Yeah.
Here's what you should do.
Well, I'll let history record that little fact, by the way. Next time you want to call anyone innovative.
Yeah. The only thing, I'm listening to an audiobook version of it, and the only thing that's driving me crazy, we were talking about mispronunciations. Yeah, the guy doesn't, he says Silicon Valley.
Does he call it
iOS? OSX.
Oh, wow.
And it's driving me nuts. It's like, didn't you? And by the way, no blame to Audible on this.
Steve Jobs strode to the podium.
I know. If he'd been pronouncing it Jobs, I would have really had him. But it's no blame to Audible because the publisher made the audiobook. And you would think the publisher would have just asked one of the authors, hey. But the funniest part is he's going, at first there was OS 9, then there was OS X. It's like, in the brain, maybe just turn that on there for a moment. Think what would come after OS 9.
I can't wait for OS Y.
Why not?
So we have that. It's called Windows RT.
Oh. Ow. Sorry. Burn.
Sorry.
God, are we? This is the longest show in the history of the
I know. I'm sorry. It's my fault.
Emirates is giving all its pilots Surface 3s. That's nice.
So you know what? It turns out this isn't necessarily a scoop. I heard about this from someone inside the company, but actually, if I'm not mistaken, this was in the day one press release. So
we can just put it well, good story. So, love it.
I heard about this separately, but.
Although when you put it in the day one press release, that's pretty much an admission that you paid Emirates to do that by giving them all of these so that you could put it in the press release.
Maybe. Microsoft and Emirates, because they actually have a history of working together. All Microsoft and Emirates date back to Windows 8, the original Windows 8 launch. In fact, I had an opportunity to go and ended up not going, but they did a big event out in Dubai, and it was around Windows 8 and the original Surface. And I think that what this is actually an upgrade of the existing Surface devices. So it kind of makes sense that they would work with this partner who they had already worked with on a new version of a product. So I don't know that it's a quite as nefarious as maybe as you might think it is. I don't know, but
I'm not nefarious. It's just that when you announce a new product and as part of the announcement announce how it's being adopted by somebody, it's not the same as saying somebody looked at it, chose it, thought about it, compared it to other products, right? I mean, how would they know to choose it if they hadn't even seen it?
Well, of course they saw it. I mean,
they did, obviously.
I mean, they show partners things early. I don't.
Right. Yeah. All right. No, I'm not knocking it. Hey, as we said, all's fair in love and technology.
As long as you don't have a monopoly.
That's right.
Right.
Are there Hyper-V issues on the Surface 3? You seem to be worried about that.
Any what issues?
Hyper-V issues.
Yeah, so I think I've been writing my review of this thing. I'm doing battery testing now. I think this is the last big thing I have to get done and be clear about. But I think the problem with Surface 3 is that a lot of people look at it and they want it to do too much, And people are, does it run Visual Studio? How does it run Photoshop? Can you do all this stuff at the same time? Can you run games? Can you do this? And it's like, guys, this is really designed to be a productivity machine, thin, light, good battery life, students, mobile professionals, that kind of thing. So I did test out all these things. The processor, the platform that's underneath this actually does support the hardware virtualization features that are required for Hyper-V. However, they're not enabled. And if you go into the firmware, there is no control to enable them. So unless Microsoft fixes the firmware and gives you that switch, you can't run Hyper-V, meaning you can't do a lot of the on-device. Mary Jo, why are you laughing so much?
Sounds like it's intentional, to be frank.
No,
I think Mary Jo doesn't like Hyper-V.
I am the biggest Hyper-V
fan. She loves Hyper-V. It's all she ever talks about.
I do.
Hadoop?
No, I just laughed because I saw someone's tweet who said, I want, no need, an audible book of an ode to the Surface Pen loop narrated by Leo Laporte.
Oh, we could laughing. Get some beautiful music behind it.
Yeah, that's why I laughed, actually. Not because of Hyper-V. That's very not a laughing matter.
No, I mean, honestly, in my testing of this thing, I mean, desktop application, obviously, compatibility is great. Hyper-V notwithstanding. Docking station capability means you can use it as a desktop PC. The Surface Pen means you can use it as an actual tablet. It works. It's not like a capacitive, stylus. It's an actual active pen with 256 degrees of Kevin Bacon separation, whatever, of pressure sensitivity. It's impressive. I mean, the other issue with Hyper-V, of course, is that you would need Windows 8.1 Pro, which I installed to test this. The retail versions of this come with Windows 8.1 Core, which doesn't include Hyper-V. But in fact, if you want to get it that way, if you're a student or a business, you'll be able to buy it through resellers and get it for, I think it's $50 more with the Windows 8.1 Pro if you want to get that. Excuse me one moment.
Okay.
I have to note a milestone in my battery test.
Oh, good. It's ongoing right now. Yeah, did it die?
Yep.
No. I'm streaming video, so I gotta.
Oh. New movie. Yep. You should just get all six Star Wars movies, run them over and over.
Yeah, yeah.
Over and over. What music would I use for an ode to the pen?
I know. It's like a...
What's that? Is it the William Tell or is it a da 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 da
da da da
da da da da da da da da
Yeah, like in the Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Yeah.
Like they're running around in the spring. And
yeah.
It's, you know.
Na, 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 na.
Yeah.
Come on, chat room. You know the name. I know the name. It's not coming to me. I know it's part of the William Tell, but which part of the William Tell is it? Carmina Burana. No. That's a little
probably
bit different
not a good
mood
choice.
We're trying to express here. A little bit different. I think it's the beautiful Galatea. Is that it? No, that's not it. I need something beautiful. Something peaceful. This might work.
Right.
An ode to the pen loop.
A true story. Or like you know, you'll see a movie and it'll say something like, it's, they always say it like the pukiest possible. Like, based upon true events.
True events.
based upon what?
Upon true events.
Chapter one.
I meet the loop. Can it run Android apps?
So there's something called BlueStacks, which you probably know is not very good, and it works, but it's slow.
Yeah.
There are other Android solutions which seem to be better, but the good ones rely on hardware virtualization, which you can't enable on this device. So I actually think that eventually this thing will be a decent platform for that kind of thing. I mean, the issue, of course, is that what you want is for those apps to run in a window or full screen or whatever, but be kind of outside of that environment. Like, in other words, you probably have the Android thing running in the background, but they're not inside of its, you know, like a big window with all Android apps. Like, you want it, you know, pinned to the taskbar, running in its own process, seemingly. You could alt tab to it and all that kind of stuff. So it's not, that part of it's not great. Not right now.
Yeah, but that BlueStacks, that's kind of, it's more BlueStacks problem, I think, than Windows.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and why would you want to run Android apps?
Well, because the other half of the Surface 3 equation is the tablet half. And that's where Windows really lacks.
Right.
There are many games, especially, but apps that are available on the Android side. It would be amazing to have a handful of those. For example, the Android version of the Kindle software is fantastic. The Windows version is terrible. I'd love to have the Android version of that app. It would probably kill battery life. It would be... It wouldn't. It's not going to work out.
Well, you're not alone. You're not alone, right?
Yeah.
Oh man. No. Okay.
Wait a minute. Here we go. Sometimes it's the little things. Literally. This past weekend, I visited the Microsoft store in Boston with the express purpose of acquiring a Surface Pen Loop and ending the nightmare of owning a Surface Pen, but having no place to secure it. Maybe. I'm going to work on the music. We've got to work on the music. Then I'm sending it off to Audible.
This thing is, it's like this big. So I was holding it and I said, do you have a little bag that would, you know, I can just kind of carry it around in. And she's like, the woman who worked at the store is like, no, I wish we did. That would be awesome. And as I was holding it up, some guy walks up and he says, what is that?
Ooh.
And I said, it's a Surface pen loop. It's for that Surface thing. And he goes, it looks like an Apple thing. He goes, can you imagine how much that would cost at an Apple store?
That's right, probably $79 like, bucks, yeah.
Like, this is like an impromptu ragging on Apple that occurred in the Microsoft store. I wanted just to move in, you know? It was nice.
Oh, boy. Well, now there's a Photoshop of the unicorn with the ninja cat holding the pen loop the flag.
Oh,
I just forwarded this to Paul, and I said,
this is also fantastic.
Oh, Lord.
Morton Nicolaisen, who's listening, he said, you guys seen this? Yep, there it
is. You've created a monster, Mr. Thurrott.
I know.
Yep.
He has.
Some people's Windows Insider Hub app is showing them Windows 10 build 10061.
I know. I saw somebody say that this morning, too.
Yeah.
What's that all about? Say that again. You mean a different build of Windows 10?
161.
Right, desktop.
Okay.
I think desktop, right?
Yeah.
Not mobile.
Oh, I'm sure they're talking about desktop, yeah.
Yeah. I saw somebody tweet that this morning and said, did you guys see it's out? But I don't think it is out. There's been no notice of it being out, so not sure if that's
there's
a leak.
There's no way it's like out. I mean, the whole world would be exploding with
right.
this.
Right. Yep.
Back to the notes.
Yes.
Office news.
Yeah, we can whip through the office news here.
All right.
Okay. So one interesting item that happened after Windows Weekly last week was Microsoft and Dropbox extending their existing partnership so that now if you are using Office Online, which is the free web version of Office, you can just add your Dropbox cloud storage to that and they're integrated.
Speaking as a Dropbox user, I love that. But why would Microsoft do that, given that they have a competitive product?
I believe it's because many files that are stored in Dropbox are Office files.
Yeah. That's probably what happened, right? Dropbox went to Microsoft and said, see all these doc files? You really ought to do something about this.
Well, yeah. By the way, that's something that doesn't cost Microsoft anything. You use Office. You use their storage.
Yeah.
That's a kind of a win-win for Microsoft.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's another cross-platform thing in a way.
Right.
It's like you're an Office customer.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm sure that's the conversation they had.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is our new thing. This is what we do. We want to make it easy for the customer. I love that. I mean, I just that's awesome.
Yep.
And in fact, it makes me more inclined to use OneDrive because I don't feel like they're being so, you know,
possessive.
Yeah.
And they also said if you're an Office 365 business customer, Dropbox for business functionality is going to be integrated that way too. So that's pretty cool. Also,
boy, am I glad we did not install that Lynx server we were thinking about for you, Mary Jo. We thought, oh, that's going to be the best way to Skype in people like Paul and Mary Jo.
Yeah.
Guess not. Now, maybe they're still using it. They're just rebranding it Skype for business.
Yes.
Okay. So it's still Lynx.
It is. Lynx backbone still.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
But they're calling it Skype for Business, and this week it went generally available, so it's starting to roll out this week to Office 365 customers. So you're going to get the new client, the new Skype for Business client. That's what you're going to see first. Then they're going to be gradually integrating more of the functionality on the back end. So it's going to take a while for this to roll out. And if you're using the Lynx client on Mac or the iOS or Android version, it's going to be a matter of weeks, I guess, until we hear how that's going to roll.
Well, Skype's the bigger brand name. That makes sense.
Now it's the only brand name, Leo.
It is.
I knew about Lynx only because of you guys, but in business, is Lynx well-known? I mean, is it a well-known brand?
I don't think so. I mean,
but Skype is well-known regardless.
It used to be Office Communicator.
Right.
They've had a change.
Never had,
Never
had good branding on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say it's the least well-known of the kind of mainstream Office servers, you know, or the
so
parts
it's,
of Office.
This is really just a rebranding, but it's the same technology as Lynx.
Yeah. Same backbone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some different functionality in the client, but they're trying to make it more a case, if you're familiar with Skype, it's going to look more familiar to you if you use this client. So
good. This is kind of, Microsoft's kind of not done much with Skype, so it's good to see them starting to make that change. Yeah. Kurt Del Benny?
He's back.
Kurt Del Benny. You might want to look up the pronunciation of that one, too.
Is it Kurt
Del Benny?
I believe
that is correct.
I think it's got to be.
It's Del Benny.
Del Benny, because it's Italian. It's of the good.
Delta Bene.
Delta Bene. Molto bene.
Yeah, so he is rejoining Microsoft, which is very interesting. He was a longtime veteran, like 20-plus year veteran at Microsoft. His last position there was president of the Office division. And then he left to go help fix healthcare.gov. He left Microsoft to go
good
do that.
Good.
Then went to Madrona Ventures as a venture capitalist for a brief period. And this week, Microsoft said he's rejoining in a new role, which is head of corporate strategy and planning for the whole company and reporting to Nadella. So this is a pretty big high level role for this guy. He was pretty well liked in Microsoft.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what your take was on him.
Yeah. People who worked with him really, I think, liked working with him. He had been there a long time. He's an engineering guy and had a lot of respect from the engineering staff, from people I had talked to.
Is there any indication that he was, because when he left, there was that was when the one Microsoft reorg happened, right? He wasn't kind of left on the doorstop or anything, was he?
No, he wasn't. He was still running Office. He was in the senior leadership team and all that. So I think it was just more of a case of he wanted to do something bigger and he got tapped for that bigger role, healthcare.gov. So he's back, though. Good news. A lot of people I've heard from are pretty jazzed that he's coming back. And another kind of interesting side note for people who like to follow the inner baseball kind of stuff at Microsoft. At the same time as he's coming back, Mark Penn, you know, who had been the guy who ran the Skrugle campaign, he also had in his title for a while corporate strategist, chief corporate strategy officer, I believe. Now he is becoming chief insights officer.
So he's like a feature of Office now.
He's the guy.
It's like, hey, Mark, can you give us some insights over here?
I'm surprised he didn't go to work with Hillary now that she's running again.
Maybe he's going to.
No, I don't think that ended on a
good note.
I think she fired him because he wasn't running her primary campaign very well.
Yeah.
Are you suggesting that Mark Penn is not perfect?
Oh, he's
all that.
He's perfect. Politics, you know.
Sure.
Data Zen. I saw this in the news. I didn't know whether this is a big deal or not.
Yeah, I mean, another company Microsoft bought. They've been on a buying spree so far this year. This is a Toronto-based mobile business intelligence company called Data Zen Software that they bought. We don't know how much they paid for them, but they do cross-platform business intelligence software. So this is, again, part of the whole cross-platform push and a more emphasis from Microsoft on business intelligence and data visualization. So it fits in a variety of ways with the whole productivity and platforms and cross-platform missions at the company. And they said we're going to hear more in the coming months how they're going to incorporate this into their existing product lineup. But probably will fit in with Power BI, which is their business intelligence stuff.
Good. BI is big.
BI is big.
Yeah. And nice Office Mix update.
That's Paul.
What is Office Mix and why is it nice? And
Office Mix is awesome. Mix is a plugin for PowerPoint 2013.
Right.
That allows you to broadcast your presentations in a new form called a mix, which can be interactive. They can be video based and so on. But the update that just came out provides two features, both of which are really cool. One of them is actually really hard to implement, but the cool one is the ability to have slide notes while you're recording the mix, which is important because obviously if you take really good notes, you can basically read along to it and not have to stutter through it and make mistakes and start and stop and so forth. It's fairly obvious. It works really well. It looks like a teleprompter, which is kind of cool. The other one, which is equally cool, is closed captioning support, which is especially important for for mixes because they're pre-recorded, so you can add that captioning capability. The problem is it's a really lengthy process, and you can't do it just in the tool. You have to use a third-party tool to actually create the subtitles. Then you import them in. They have to be in a very specific XML-based format and so forth. So there's a little bit of work to doing captions, which is a little unfortunate, and hopefully that gets easier over time. But still, kind of a neat addition.
Well, if it's a neat addition, I'm all for it.
It is.
Back of the book coming up, ZipRecruiter.com, our sponsor today. ZipRecruiter is going to help you find new employees. It's a, you know, it's kind of a pain in the butt if you're the person who has to do the hiring, you know? The HR department, or if you're a small business, you're doing it yourself. All those phone calls and emails. You know, every time you post a listing, you go, oh, gosh, now I have to go through a whole bunch of... ZipRecruiter makes it so much easier. First of all, you don't have to worry about which is the right job site to post it to. ZipRecruiter posts to 50 job sites with one click of the mouse. So you're everywhere, which you might say, oh, great, now I'm really going to get a lot of traffic. Yes, you are. And I promise you, you won't mind because of ZipRecruiter's great interface. In fact, not only do they post to 50-plus job boards with a single click of the mouse, they also post to Craigslist and Twitter and Facebook, all the social sites. ZipRecruiter.com/windows. That's what you want to check out. They even, because they know this, you're going to love ZipRecruiter and their interface, they even offer something called Traffic Boost. It's a premium product that gives you even more candidates, up to 3 times more candidates. But wait, you say, Leo, I don't want all those emails to my inbox. Don't worry, you won't get them, nor will you get phone calls, because it all filters into ZipRecruiter's incredible interface, which lets you quickly screen applicants, rate them, and hire the right person fast. They have this locked down. This is exactly what you've been looking for. I got to tell you, you're going to love it. ZipRecruiter.com/windows. We love it. We use it. In fact, we like it so much, we've arranged for a deal for you. ZipRecruiter free for the first 4 days and 30% off your first traffic boost. Wow. ZipRecruiter.com/windows. This is the modern way to post a job and hire the right person fast. So much better. Just try it. Just, you know, try it for free once, and I promise you, you'll know what I'm talking about. ZipRecruiter.com/Winders. We spell Winders, W-I-N-D-O-W-S, in case there's any confusion whatsoever. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. The back of the book starts with Paul's tip of the week.
So, unlike Mary Jo, I use Office regularly, in particular Word, but also OneNote. And it's one of those things, like, I kind of can't live without, but I wonder sometimes whether that's, you know, habit or tradition and not actual need. I mean, even as a professional writer of sorts, I mean, even when writing books, I mean, I don't think I use 5%, you know, 10%, or I don't know, the features of this thing. And, you know, I sort of regularly recommend Office 365, and I talk about these things on a certain level. But a lot of people write into me about this stuff for saying, you know, I can use this, I can do this, this is free, you know, why not try different things? So I started looking around at free Office alternatives. And there are the obvious ones, you know, the open office type applications that you can download to your hard drive. But I, honestly, I think if you were going to move off Office at this point in time, the point should be not to have to install another heavy, big thing on your computer. It should be, you know, what's a more elegant way of doing this kind of thing? And interestingly, the two that are the best are the Microsoft one, of course, Office Online, which is free to anyone, which is actually pretty fantastic, but lacks a couple of basic features that I actually do kind of need. And then Google Docs. And Google Docs was also, in a very impromptu and unscientific survey on Twitter, was also by far the one that most people were using, which should concern anyone at Microsoft. But in using Google Docs this past week, I actually wrote several articles with it. I used it in offline mode. I tried different, tried it on different computers and everything. It's interesting how it works. And I'm probably never going to write this up because it's just like past the edge of the type of thing that I think is maybe useful for my audience. But it's actually possible to configure Google Docs to use the same fonts and as Office does. And so the documents you create look exactly like Office documents, you know, the same heading styles and everything. word spacing or paragraph spacing and so forth. And it's I don't know, it's probably something that no one else cares about but me. But it actually made my experience using Google Docs disturbingly okay. It was kind of strange. But anyway, I wrote an article about this. I'm probably going to follow it up with some more information about this thing, this kind of thing. But, you know, we were talking earlier about Dropbox integration with Office Online, which is that free web-based Office thing I was just talking about. You know, that kind of capability is very interesting because it allows you to mix and match software in the cloud, you know, not just software that's on your computer. Google doesn't offer that. There are third-party ways to kind of synchronize Google Drive with, you know, Dropbox and probably other online cloud services. But I find that capability in Office to be very kind of friendly and open. And it's very interesting that that works. And it works very, very well to the tune of you can, if you just think of your world in terms of Dropbox, you could go to Dropbox on the web, double click on files, and they open in Word or Excel or PowerPoint online. It's actually a very powerful capability. And so I was just kind of in the article, I'm not going to go into all of it here, but I stepped through a bunch of the free alternatives to paid Office, and there's actually a bunch of them. Who knew? I don't know. Well, I mean, I pay for Office 365, so I sort of think of it. To me, like, this stuff just comes as part of something I pay for. I don't know. But and then the software pick is, you may recall last week, my pick was Office Remote for Windows Phone, and I described it as one of the few remaining Microsoft mobile apps that was unique to Windows Phone. The next day, they released it for Android.
Yeah.
So now it's available on Android. And it doesn't just do PowerPoint remoting. It's not just remote control for PowerPoint. It's actually a way to remotely control Office applications. I think it has to be Office 2013 on a PC with a device. You could, I don't know, like, well, I guess I could imagine a few reasons why you might want to remotely control a Word document or an Excel spreadsheet. But I think the big one is obviously for presentations. I'm a little surprised there wasn't an iOS version of the app released. In fact, we were talking earlier about how that stuff tends to happen on iOS first. This is the rare, perhaps unique instance, aside from lock screen type apps, where a Microsoft Office app has appeared on Android before it appeared on iOS. So that's kind of interesting. So anyway, it's another reason not to use Windows Phone. Hooray! So there it is.
Aw, poor Paul. Yep.
One day later, Leo.
Yeah, it
one
take long
day.
Still don't have it for iOS though. There's always that.
I actually keep. I check every day. It has to happen anytime.
It must be working.
I can't believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's delve into our enterprise pick of the week.
Ooh, nice segue.
Yeah, see, I'm working on them. Getting better.
You're back, baby.
I'm back.
Although this also is very much in the vein of Paul's pick here. It's about Delve, which is kind of like Microsoft's Flipboard for businesses. It's an app and a service that arranges your contact information and other pieces of information pertinent to you in card form. So it looks kind of like Flipbook. Yeah. But the news this week is Microsoft has come out with mobile app versions of Delve for iOS and Android. And not for Windows Phone yet. So, it's another one of those. Yeah. But if you're using iPhone or Android phones or even Android Wear, they're even supporting Android Wear with this, you'll be able to now sync up with your Delve backend and get information about files that you're sharing with other people and eventually with more information about your contacts and what's going on in your shared groups and SharePoint and information like that. So that's kind of an interesting thing. They're taking that capability cross-platform now. And it also related to Delve, they are rolling out some Office 365 backend improvements to Delve right now for people who already have it. There's new advanced people search capabilities built in, so it's going to be easier to find information about your contacts and to find your contacts. And also, they're adding blogging support to the platform so that if you're on Delve, you'll be able to write blog posts as part of your profile. Kind of interesting as well.
That's neat.
Yep.
When you say Flipboard, do you mean Flipboard or do you mean Pinterest? I mean, it's kind of a little bit of both.
It's kind of a little of both. Yeah it is. Yeah. Kind of a cross between those two things. Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
And your code name of the week, I love it.
Code name of the week is Kratos. Is that the correct pronunciation?
Kratos.
Anyway, that is the code name. And I guess there's even a video of Kratos fighting Master Chief somewhere out there. Ooh. So Kratos, I think, I know it is the code name for something called Power Apps at Microsoft. But what Power Apps is a little bit up in the air. I found a couple of job descriptions on their career site talking about Power Apps. And the way it was described makes me think it may be microservices related, so that it may have something to do with the idea of making it simpler for developers, especially non-professional developers, to pull together APIs and applications that may be in container form and kind of hook them together and make new kinds of apps. The job descriptions talk about mobile first, cloud first, you know, the favorite Microsoft buzzwords. And when I asked Microsoft about it, they just clammed up and said, we have nothing to share. So I think maybe we could hear more about this at either Build or Ignite. That's my guess. So keep your ears peeled for Kratos.
I'll keep my eels peeled too.
Eels peered.
Peered your eels.
Eels peered.
Eels peering. Next on Windows Weekly. Finally, it's beer time and a little bit of a sessionable beer for spring.
Yes. Yes. This beer is from Victory Brewing. It's called Victory Kirsch Goes. And Goes beers are these very light, almost like Berliner Weiss style beers that are kind of salty.
I like those, yeah.
Yeah, and they combined in this beer a cherry, like a sour cherry, with the Goes. And when I first saw it, it's very pink. I was thinking I wasn't going to like this too much, but it's really refreshing, really, really nice.
And 4.8% alcohol.
4.8%, not so bad.
Yeah.
Plus, it's spalt spalt.
It's what?
Spalt spalt.
Spalt spalt?
No hops.
What? No hops? Spalt spalt. Is that a hop?
What is that?
What is that?
It's the hop.
That's the hop. Huh?
Do the spalt spalt hop.
Spalt spalt.
Let's all go to the hop.
This is like Sprockets from SNL. It's like, now is the time when we dance.
Nice. Kirsch Goss. You know Kirsch because that's strawberry or cherry, but cherry, Goza right? Is G-O-S-E.
Right, I said Goza. Like Goza.
Where did you find this?
Victory Beer.
You can find it in beer stores. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Neato.
Yep. So can I talk about my contest?
Yeah. What about it?
Okay, so this is related to beer.
Yeah.
And if you're going to Ignite, Microsoft show in Chicago, the first... kind of like day zero there is Sunday. So anybody who's there on Sunday, we're having a little contest. We're going to have a beer podcast there. And we're going to be some IT people. It's going to be me and the people who do the Patch and Switch podcast, Joey Snow and Rick Klaus. We're doing a podcast together just about beer. And it's for IT people. So we're having a little contest where if you tweet something, only one tweet, the hashtag is BeerIT, like beer it. You have to say in one tweet why you think so many IT pros love craft beer. And we're going to pick the best 30 or so answers. And whoever wins gets to come to a private beer tasting with us. And we're going to have people from Lagunitas there.
Wow.
And we're going to have a beer sommelier. And we're going to have free food and free beer and pairings.
Nice.
And it's going to be really awesome. So if you want to be in this contest... tweet to me, use the hashtag BeerIT, and give me a reason why so many IT pros like craft beer. And if you're a winner, I will tell you.
Significant speculation on that.
Yes, there's many things you could say, actually.
And it's at Mary Jo Foley, MaryJoFoley.
Yes.
What a good idea for a contest, too. I like that.
Yeah, it's going to be really great. Fun. It's a little private Sunday. You have to be free Sunday from 3 to 5 p.m. in Chicago. And it's going to be very cool if you like craft beer. That's all I'm going to say.
So is it in your experience the case that IT professionals drink beer? I think you're right. They do drink beer in preference to other beverages.
I feel like they do. Yeah. And many of them are home brewers as well, I've noticed.
Yeah, our as IT Rick. Guy, as you know, Russell Tamany, spends more money on the
equipment. People who are musicians, you know, programmers, like they all tend to have the same.
They like beer?
You know, they're in the right mental, kind of an intellectual curve or whatever. It's good.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah.
Creative people.
Yes.
But don't tweet that. That's boring. Come up with a better. Well, you know, we're just creative.
They're just exactly. better than the rest of you. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
Well,
right.
I'll tell you who's better than the rest of them. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. That's who. Love this show. Love you guys. If you wish to watch live, you can. 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time every Wednesday, 1800 UTC. Or you can get on-demand audio and video after the fact. See, we're both. We're an IPTV station, and we're a downloadable content station. I guess you'd call that a podcast. I don't like that word.
That sounds like an antitrust abuse.
Oh, yeah. I wish. I would love to get prosecuted for antitrust. You are so dominant,
LaPorte. You're bundling an offline product with an online product, Mr. LaPorte.
Yes, we are.
How dare you.
Go to twit.tv/WW to get your offline product. It's like Here Maps. You can just download it. And yes, you don't have to be online to listen. Unbelievable.
The availability of an offline product doesn't harm any of our online competitors. That's I don't understand.
Right. That's right.
There are plenty of choices in podcasts.
The competition is still swift.
Right. There are more podcasts today than there were when we started this
podcast. That's right. There should be no question in your mind. Of course, we are the best. You can also find us on all the places that they aggregate those things called podcasts, as well as, you know, a lot of the apps, including Stitcher and Slacker and, you know, Gesundheit, and I don't know what that is, and Pocket Casts and
Gesundheit.
.net.
Dot info.
Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Thurrott is at Thurrott.com, Thurrott.com. Mary Jo Foley's at allaboutmicrosoft.com. And this show is, as I said, at twit.tv/WW. We thank you for being with us. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly. Bye-bye.